Prince Heather. I'm an addict.
Hey, Heather.
Nathan said ladies first, but I didn't know he was talking about me. It's been a long time since I've been called a lady. I've been married for whatever. I don't know how long I've been married. 16 years. He knows. Yeah. I didn't know whether I'd be speaking first or second, so you're speaking second, my friend. Is that true? Is your name David?
I've been called worse. No, it's not.
Petros. I'm Heather.
He's got 25 minutes,
nice to meet you. Yeah, so you're batting cleanup, really. Okay. I'll set him up. You knock him down. All right. I will say this. We just had a really great speaker. I don't know if you were in the banquet, but she talked about, you know, direct amends. She talked about indirect amends. She did a good job of setting us up, Petra. So we're in good shape. She was pretty amazing. And I don't tend to love women when I see them initially. I have a competitive spirit in me. And so every woman that I see, no offense, because you're the only one in the room, I don't think I like her. That's my first thought of any woman that I ever met, especially if she's pretty. I think, I don't think I like her very much. And the speaker this morning was pretty attractive too. So I always have to like tell myself, just like stand down a little bit, and that it's not a competition, that we're not being, judged for a beauty pageant. And not even being judged for our spiritual condition, right? So it becomes really hard for me. And she did a great job quoting literature. I also love literature, and I will just say this, you know, living your amends, like I said, you know, I heard her talk about direct and indirect amends, and then there's living amends as well, right? And that's what we're here to talk about, is living amends. And I think you can start your living amends whenever you want, right? You can start your living amends as soon as you get clean. But I don't think it'll keep you clean until you work the steps, right? That's my experience. I tried to get clean a few times, right? I didn't stay clean until I worked the steps, right? And so I think you don't get the credit for living the amends until you work the steps, right? And so I do want to say that. I hear people all the time say, well, you know, I'm making living amends. And look, there's no argument against living a better life, right? We should all be wanting to live better lives and better ourselves. But I truly believe that that we don't start to get anything out of living amends until we walk the steps, right? I will do a small NA commercial right now about there's this new NA survival kit that comes from World, and it breaks down into steps. Like, I think it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and there's a little book, and it has the it combines the blue book on the steps, and then it has the it works out and why on the steps, and then it has the step working guide. And so, you know, when I went to think about living amends and I read about living amends, what I normally do when I do something like that is, like, I get out the blue book, and then I get out the green book, and this is how I work through it with sponsees too, right? And then we do the step working guide, and after all that, we talk through that living clean book, which is it's funny. I also had contempt prior to investigation about the living clean book because I didn't think it was real NA literature. Sorry, it wasn't part of the first books. I was like, that's bullshit. Living clean or whatever. But then I'm in a literature group with my homegirls. And we got through the steps, and we got through the traditions, and then we did the spiritual principles book, and then we were like, what are we going to do? And I was like, it's up for vote, right? Everybody gets a vote. What do you want to do? And they fucking chose living clean, and I was like, God damn it. And so now I really like it. Because we read it, and we talk about it, and it's like really good stuff, you know what I mean? It's made by addicts for addicts, just like all of our other literature, and it really helps me identify. And again, I come from a place of no. Like, that is how I'm built, right? You want me to do that? Nope. You know? Even if it's like the best thing for me, I just come from a place of no. It's just how I'm built, you know? I'm rebellious by nature. And you can, you know, talk to my parents about that if you'd like. And the funny thing is like, I'm, you know, rebellious by nature. My husband is also rebellious by nature. Like, we were built, you know, during the 80s punk rock phase, right? And so my daughter likes makeup, and that's annoying, and she likes bougie shit and Starbucks, and like that's her rebellion, right? We're all punk rock and like tough, and her rebellion is Starbucks and spray smell stuff, right? She's addicted to, like, there's this line of shit that teenage girls like that has, like, you know, smells, but what? Anyway, she's rebelling against us in kind. Let's just say that. You get what you give, you know? On Living Amends, I did highlight a couple of things in those textbooks, which is, like, so much easier to carry around than those through. Anyway, did you get the commercial for the... all right. Changing the way we live is a lifetime process and is perhaps the most significant amends we can make. Some of the people we've harmed, like our families or others we've been close to for a long time, have suffered for years. Amends of this nature can't be made in a 5-minute apology, no matter how heartfelt. Although an admission of wrong and apology may be the starting point, we need to go on by making a concerted daily effort to stop hurting our loved ones. If we've neglected our families, we start spending time with them. If we've been thoughtless, always forgetting birthdays and anniversaries, we begin to be thoughtful instead, remembering those important events. If we've been inconsiderate, always wrapped up in what we wanted and needed, we now begin to be sensitive to the needs of others. So that's from It Works How and Why on step 9. I am not a birthdays and holidays person. I am very self-centered still. And I have a hard time without my friend Google remembering birthdays, remembering anniversaries, remembering that stuff. I have just never, you know, I mean... In my defense, I also don't give a shit about my own, right? So it's not like I expect you to remember my birthday and I don't remember yours, but that's not what living amends is. It isn't treating you how I want to be treated, it's treating you how you want to be treated, right? And people really care about their birthdays, and people who do care about their birthdays love when you make a big deal about it, you know what I mean? And just because it doesn't matter to me doesn't mean it doesn't matter to them. And so I spend a whole lot of time putting it in my calendar on my phone now, and so that I can reach out to people when it's their birthday. Facebook does help a lot for old people. I think Facebook is an old people's thing now, but I don't have the tic tacs. I've got Facebook. That's what I got. And so that helps a little bit, but it also feels a little impersonal to me. So I tend to, like, either, you know, I'm not a card sender, like, fuck you. I mean, it's hard for me to remember the day of, much less a week before to send a card. You know what I mean? I'm not that good. I'm not that good yet. When I start sending birthday cards, it's time for me to go. Like, I think I'll be ready to be taken. Because that's when you know I will have been one with the divine when I'm starting to send birthday cards. So I send a text. I make a call to those people it matters about. One of my best friends, one of my, like, we have a crew now. Some people call us a clique. It's cool. I don't care. Get your own. This girl said, you know, one time offhandedly, she said, she has a trouble with self-love. And she said, people keep telling me they love me, and I don't believe them. The only way I'll believe them is if they, like, throw me a parade or something. She said it like that. And so on her birthday, guess who got in their van and decorated it, and all of us went down and gave her a parade for her birthday, and it was the best fucking parade. I'm telling you, when I was doing the parade, first of all, you know, I got parade music, I have a like a conversion van, we put streamers on it, I made somebody else drive it so I could be in a tutu and, like, the baton twirling, and the parade music was playing. I mean, it was a real, like, when we thought of it, we were like, this is not gonna go off, right? You know what I mean? But when we did it, it went off. It was like a real parade. We had people going in there. I mean, her neighbors don't like us very much anymore, but it was like 10 o'clock in the morning, so we gave them a little bit of time. But it was the feeling that I got seeing her face light up was like no other. I was giddy. We went to lunch afterward, and I was like, I still have a little chills talking about it. But anyway, that's the kind of stuff I do today, and the kind of stuff I would have never done, you know, before, right? Because I didn't look very cool in the tutu with the baton twirling, but I signed up for it, so I did it. I want to talk a little bit later in that same chapter. It says, sometimes the only way we can make amends is to change the way we live. As discussed in the 8th step, we may owe amends to our community or society as a whole. Though this may seem to be an abstract concept, we must make concrete amends by changing our behavior. Excuse me. If we have harmed society, we start to make amends by becoming a productive member of society. We contribute. We look for ways to give, not take. So the word amend means change, right? And so when you're making amends, you know, I understand what direct amends and what indirect amends are, but the word amend means change. And if I don't change, I'm the same person. I'm creating the same, you know, destruction that I created when I was using. And so, like I said, you can change your behavior before you start working steps. It's cool. Please do. You know, it certainly put you in a better position and caused less shame. And I think, you know, I've heard of, you know, I know a lot of people who've died from this disease. I know a lot of people who left on shame. And I think shame is one of the biggest killers around here. So if you could stop creating shame and start living, you know, an honest life, please do that. But I really do think that we don't understand how to change our behavior until we work the steps, like I said before. The thing I thought was most about this is, so the thing that I thought about when I thought about this was, I'm a boss now, you know, and I know what it takes to onboard an employee and how much, you know, time, materials, that kind of stuff it takes to onboard somebody to your company. When I was in my active addiction, look, I went to the dentist with my kid the other day, and the lady who was cleaning his teeth, I said, "Hey, you remember me?" And she was like, "What?" I was like, "Yeah, I used to work with you at the other dentist." And she was like, "Oh my God." We talked through like all the people who were there. And my son says to me, "Man, you've had a lot of jobs." I was like, "Yeah, I've had a lot of jobs." You know what I mean? I rolled through that shit, right? As soon as they were on to me, I caught another job. And when they got on to me, I caught another job, you know? And when I got my first job in recovery, my first real job, look, I bartended for my first year in recovery and period. Fuck you. and then I decided I wanted a big girl job that, you know, that was hard to get a big girl job because that bartender job was cash, you know what I mean? And so I went to get this big girl job, and I thought they would be, like, lucky to have me now that I was clean. And I interviewed, and I'm smart, you know. I mean, I've never not been smart. That's you know, I'm a smart using addict. I'm a smart clean addict. I'm a lot more dangerous this way. But I sat in front of that interview, and I did a great job. You know, I had a great resume. I talked to people. I did what you people told me to do, talk to people with jobs, find out how to get that job, you know. And I did all that, and I sat in front of the guy, and he said, "You know, I don't doubt that you can do this job. Like, there is nothing, you know, this is not rocket science," right? It was like an administrative job at a desk at a facilities department at a university. And he said, "I know you can do this job, but I'm worried your history is a bit spotty, you know?" And he's like, I need somebody for a while. And I was like, "Well, you know, what's a while?" And he said, "You know, like 3 years." And I fucking fell on the floor. I was like, "I haven't had a boyfriend for 3 years. You want me to keep a job for 3 years? You know what I mean? That is like a lifetime commitment for somebody like me."
God.
And so I was like, you know, I did lie. You know, I was like, "I can do that. I don't have that experience. I can't do that. 3 years. I stayed at that job for 13 years. You know what I mean? He was he's been my mentor. He was my first and best boss. You know, he came to my first year anniversary, and I fucking shit you not said, I took the needle out of this girl's neck, and I put her behind a desk." Like, that's what he said at my anniversary. I was so proud. This is a guy who works for Hopkins University, right? All of a sudden, he has a little more insight into shit people like us, you know what I mean? Great. It was a great anniversary. And he basically did take the needle out of my neck and put me behind a desk. He was not lying. You know what I mean? I was still a little rough around the edges when he hired me, but those are the kind of living amends that I think, you know, that we need to make in this world, right? Because now I have amends not only for myself, not only for the way I behaved before, but also for you, right? And for other addicts who are in recovery. I don't think I highlighted anything else, but I will just say that, you know, I am the mother of teenagers. I waited a little while to have kids, thank God. Actually, I'm lying. I didn't get given kids until I was clean. You know, I certainly wasn't not trying to have kids while I was out there, I guess is the nicest way to put that. I certainly wasn't careful. I didn't care about myself. I didn't care about the person I was having sex with. None of that stuff, right? But God didn't see fit to give me kids until I got clean. I'm a baby maker, it turns out. And so I have teenagers. I have aging parents, right? My mom had me when she was 30, which was ancient back then. So I have aging parents and I have teenagers, and it's a lot to manage. You know, they call us, what the fuck do they call us? I can't can't remember what they call us, the anchor generation, I think is what they call us, where you have people who are aging that you have to take care of and people who are, you know, teenagers that don't want your help and need it the most, right? And so it's a lot of work, you know, and my parents chose to move to East Bumfuck, Virginia. You've heard of the Eastern Shore of Maryland? Well, there is an Eastern Shore of Virginia, whether you know it or not. It's like, you know, this long, and it's 4.5 hours away. let me just tell you to all of us aging people, don't fucking age in a bumfuck, you know, county of Virginia. Like, there's no hospitals, there's no, what do they call those, you know, assisted living facilities that are worth a shit, you know what I mean? Come to the city. Actually, get an apartment at the hospital. That might be the best move for you in your because listen, there's a lot of work needed to take care of old people, and driving them across the goddamn bridge, you know, to go to the hospital is a lot of work. But listen, I signed up for it. They, you know, they gave me everything that I didn't deserve during my whole life. The last thing I'll talk about in my living amends with my parents is that at some point in my recovery, I stopped taking money from my parents. Now, that sounds like a really bougie high bottom thing to say, but it is. It is. I took money from my parents my entire addiction, and I took money from my parents when I started getting clean, and I took money from my parents whenever I needed it. I took money from my parents by writing myself checks from their checkbooks that they didn't know about. You know what I mean? So at some point I was like, my finances are out of control. Like, I don't know how to live like a human being. And my sponsor suggested I stop taking money from my parents, and that was the worst suggestion I thought I'd ever heard in my entire life. You know what I mean? But it was the best thing I ever did. It wasn't like they couldn't give it to me, right? That's not the way my parents have built this. They're alcoholics, so they have a really nice life. They're not drug addicts. They have a boat, right? Alcoholics get boats. Drug addicts don't get boats. It's just not, doesn't work out like that for us. But they have a nice life. They built it. They earned it. Don't get me wrong. You know, my father gave me my work ethic, really. You know, thank God for that. But it was killing me. Right, it's killing me taking money from them, even clean. You know, my finances were a mess. I never got, you know, nothing ever. I couldn't, you know. I mean, do it. Try to live on your own. You guys probably know. You probably lived on your own a lot. I did not. And so once I stopped taking money from my parents, my life changed. You know, my life changed in a way that I became responsible for my own finances. And now I have I have two kids in private school because I'm fucking bougie now. And I pay for it. I pay for it. You know what I mean? And it's hard, and we go without. And I know that sounds like shit, but I drive a 1990 Chevy van. You know what I mean? Without a muffler. It's fucking awesome. Driving on to St. Timothy's School. With my daughter, like, get out, you know. They're like, they each have Lexuses of their own, or like, what's the electric? Oh, Tesla. Tesla's big right now on St. Tim's campus. But not my daughter. She gets out of her 1990 van with her head down like this, and you know what I mean. But one day she'll be like, you know, my mom sent me to a good school, and she did without so that I could go to a good school. You know what I mean? That's living amends for me, right? Because I get to give that to my daughter, and I have to suffer a little bit for it. You know what I mean? One time, I'll shut up after this. One time, this newcomer in recovery said, "You make a lot of money, right?" And I said, she said, "You have a good job. You make a lot of money." And I said, "Yep." And she said, "Why do you live in a house like this?" I did not punch her. That is a living amends. I held a resentment for like 10 years. For real, she just made an amends to me, and I was so happy to have that because I was able to let go of that 10-year amends. I was mad for a long time about that stuff. But it's priorities, you know what I mean? I don't need to live in a big house. My kids need a good education, you know what I mean? That's living amends for me. Thanks for letting me share.
All right, I would like to introduce our second speaker, Petros.
She brought her literature. I'm going to bring my literature.
Good job. Oh, is it Living Clean?
Yeah. My name is Petros, and I'm grateful recovering addict. Hey, family. I say family because it's good to be in a room full of people, or half room full of people.
Right.
Right. That are just like me. right, my preference may not be your preference, my skin color may not be yours, my address may not be yours, my story may not be yours. But if you suffer from substance use disorder and co-occurring mental health, I am you and you are me. And part of my gratitude, man, I can say this today, right? I'm grateful for my 28 years of active addiction because it's given me an opportunity to experience almost 11 years clean. And if you're new here, welcome, right? The program, listen, welcome. If you're just coming back, welcome back home. And if there's anybody in the room that's a predecessor, right? Thank you. Welcome for giving us a program that at times, man, when I choose to, I can take advantage of. And you know, living amends. Ha, ha, ha. You know, there's a lot of stuff today that I, there's a lot of things that I didn't understand when I first came in here, you know. And I remember coming around me and people talking about, like, well, the longer I stay clean, the less I know. Right? God of my misunderstanding. Oh, wow. And listen, the lady that did the,
yeah, main speaker.
Yeah, the main speaker, she started hitting on some stuff. I had to go outside and have about 15 cigarettes in a row. My first thought is, like, which one of my intimate network people talked to, shared my business with this strange lady that I've never met before? Because I don't know if you know this, you know, there are times where I'm kind of a big deal right here. Right. So living amends, man, to me, quite simply, look, if you're new, you don't have to believe. I didn't believe when I came around here. I was just so angry. After 28 years, it wasn't taking the pain away anymore. I didn't come in here to get a sponsor. I didn't come in here to find God. Definitely. I come from religious people. Right. I didn't come in here to find some strange man and tell him some things I've never told anybody else because some things don't have a statute of limitation. Some of you understand what I'm talking about, right? I didn't come in here to learn how to be of service and learn how to apply these spiritual principles. I came in here because after 28 years, man, two things. I wanted some sleep and I wanted to stop getting mail that said, United States government versus state of Maryland versus Commonwealth of Pennsylvania versus, right? So living amends for me means that I get an opportunity to change the behavior, right? It's easy to say I'm sorry. I'm real good at that, right? Say I'm sorry. This program, the application of this program gives me an opportunity for my feet to match my mouth. And let me be honest, man, with coming up on 11 years clean, man, look, there's some days I don't want to hear that spiritual shit. There's some days where the only thing I got right when I wake up the next day is I didn't put the substance in me. Because what I'm trying to say is, man, I have used clean. Living amends. An opportunity to live a better way of life, to make amends to you. But what I struggle the most with is making amends to myself. Right, so it's time for my literature quoting. Bear with me because it looks like I wear glasses, but I swear to God these things don't work anymore. I guess that's what happens when you sit in front of a computer for 10 years under the influence. Some of you understand what I'm talking about. Yeah. So I too this morning, right, cracked the book because I was curious. And apparently I don't know how to read numbers. So this book has a lot of stuff and a lot of meat and potatoes, right? Amends and Reconciliation. The process neither begins nor ends when we sit down with the person we have harmed to have a talk to have that talk. With the help of our sponsor, we reconcile ourselves to the truth. Reconcile, right? Restore peace. I didn't know how to do that. Right? There's some other stuff in here. Living with these amends means allowing the changes in our personalities and our behavior to become reliable and consistent in the lives of those we care about. We do this whether the people we care about are changing or not. Whether they forgive us.
I don't know.
or not. Whether our relationship becomes what we wish for or not, the chapter also talks about the difference between hope and expectation. And I get emotional when I talk about my recovery process, man, because I just didn't believe, right? Part of my living, two great living amends for me. I'm the father of a beautiful daughter. I'm the grandfather of two of her daughters. I was a shit father. I was that dad that, "I'm coming, Cass, I'm coming. I'll be right there. Let me take care of a few things." My daughter is coming up on 9.5 years clean in this program, right? This process, this program teaches me how to be a father, teaches me how to be a grandfather. You know, I prayed about it, man, for... I had a relationship with my daughter, and then she cut me off from the granddaughters for about 3.5 years, right? And listen, Narcotics Anonymous is no longer a drug program for me. It's a program that helps, it's a behavior program for me. It helps me survive my feelings and my emotions with an understanding. Let the spoon, the lighter, the water, it's there if I want it. And be careful, right? And I remember, man, I'm in my bag. I'm in my feelings. Like, come on, your dad's calling. I'm clean now. I want to be dad, right? And she cut me off. And for 3.5 years, man, once a month, I'm sending a text message or I'm making a phone call. She didn't pick up. She wouldn't reply. And after 3.5 years, I get this text message back. "Hi, Daddy." She said, "Listen, I had to go back and get some more outside help. Raising my daughters has reminded me of some issues when your mom weren't around." So a living amends is for me, right? And sometimes it's hard for me to accept some of the consequences that come with the actions that led me to make the amends, right? And it was shared here too about the young lady talked about parents. My mom and papa are 85 years old, and my mom's not doing very well, right? With my whole heart, I'm so grateful that to God, how I understand that He's kept them alive long enough so they can see their boy come back to life one day at a time for almost 11 years. Something I could never give them. It's taken me almost 11 years clean some amends to myself. Like, listen, I don't say this out of anger. I don't say this out of spite. But look, it took me a long time in life to accept this. My mother raised me to be a man. I come from good people. Look, I started getting high and committing crime because I wanted to. Because it was attractive to me. I just didn't see the damage that came with it. Part of my living amends to myself sometimes is I plug in. The literature talks about, man, like how we form relationships in here that are closer to us than our own blood. And one of them for me is sitting right up here, Chris. My recovery process has afforded me the opportunity to go through the greatest pain in my life, man. Clean. I try to make a square peg fit into a round hole. This book also talks about it in the romantic relationship. When I first read the romantic relationship section in this book, I threw it across the room. I had to call maintenance. I think the drywall needs to be fixed in here. It's kind of weird. It's flaking, chipping a little bit. Right? It talks about, man, after a year's clean romantic relationship, how some of us will wake up and feel a panic because we're not in a romantic relationship. And I chased something that was unhealthy. I'm not talking about her. I'm talking about me. 7.5 years clean, man. I'm living a life I never thought I was worthy of. I got a couple things, right? And I started to chase something, man. You know, for 3.5 years, I was in something unhealthy. She left me 4 different times. That's why conventions. I was down here at a convention once. I got back home and she moved out. Right? We just didn't do any arguing, yelling, screaming, nothing like that. She moved out, right? I said, Mama, I'm your only son. You never said anything bad about her. How come? And she said, Bet, Papito, come here. She said, she's not bad. She's just broken. She's broken the same way you're broken. And I'm going to tell you some things. I don't mean to hurt your feelings. You're emotionally insecure. There are certain personalities you don't know how to handle. And it was too much. All right, Mom, I'm done. Thank you. I'd rather you just get the belt. A year later, man, listen, I was with someone for, she was in the other fellowship. I was with someone for 3.5 years. She was 45 days away from 8 years clean. She looked me dead in my eyes. She said, I drank last night and I'm drinking again tonight. Do you want to do some shots? My first thought in my head is, I ain't Adam, you ain't Eve, and this ain't the garden. Some of you know what I'm talking about, right? But I sat there with someone I cared about for 2 days. She did her thing. I had dinner. And I got firsthand. I saw the emotional, spiritual crash when she got in the car. And I made sure that she made it home okay and all this and that. And a year went by, man. I was, listen, obsession, compulsion, and self-centeredness. I experienced abandonment and rejection in a way I've never experienced it before. And it triggered some stuff that I didn't know that was there or I wasn't willing to acknowledge. So a year went by and I said, I'm starting to feel better about myself. Listen, I'm that addict now that I have a network, but I have an intimate network. Because for me, all recovery money ain't good money. I'm careful what I share with, who I share with. And the person I referenced who's sitting in this front room, he has saved my life clean. The love we have in this fellowship. And I know it's love too because we've had the same conversation year after year. He picks the phone up. He never said, are we still talking about this? Or, oh my God, nothing like that. Encouragement. Because my sponsor, I need to say this because I'm sure he'll hear it. Sponsorship plug. I got the best sponsor in NAAA AAA, Raymond. Right? Raymond helps me understand. I'm grateful for the sponsor I had because he knows the dummy he's working with. He breaks it the whole way down. He said, simple. It's tough to see the picture when you're in the frame. And repetition is a way of teaching and learning. Right? And a year went by, man, and someone listened to me talk. He said, I hear you talking about your parents not doing well. I suggest you go up and have a conversation with your mother and put some cotton in your mouth. Just listen before she leaves this earth. See, listen, Mama for me is my original earthly sponsor. Other than God, don't nobody know me better than Mama. She said, listen, she wanted to talk to me when Papa wasn't around. So Christmas Eve, I'm driving up there. My dad drives by. All right, they're not home. Hey, Mom, I tried. Nah. I'm here, I just didn't feel like going. So I jump into bed, and I'm stroking her white hair, and I'm listening to her, and I'm laying beside her. I said, Mama, what did you mean? She said, listen, we were too rough. I come from ethnic people. She said, we were too rough on you and your sister when we were raising you. We expected you to be perfect. And because we knew that you were a sensitive boy growing up, and the way that your father raised you made you doubt yourself. And I'm sharing with you my process. Part of my living amends to myself is acceptance. Because that's the key. Listen, my mom taught the family. And when I talk about God, I'm not talking about a religion. I'm talking about relationship. Religion I hear, relationship I feel. My mother teaches us the difference between faith and unshakable faith. And the confusion, the doubting myself. Listen, Mama taught us God first, family, love others, and learn to do it in love. So when my father was a retired merchant marine officer, a combat veteran, and he was going for 10 or 11 out of 12, he did what he could to provide for us. I'm not saying this out of anger. I have no ill will towards him. The confusion for me, my father's Greek descendant, we're Greek men, we're the inventors of math. We're the men. We can do it. Just don't ever bring it home and get caught. That's how he raised me. And the confusion for me was, how do I be this loving, caring man my mother's raising me to be around my Alpha Father? And we don't talk about this enough in here, the precious gifts. So when my mom and father started getting sick, right? I'm my living amends to my family, my blood, because I don't know about you. It's the most easiest for me to hurt the ones closest to me, because I guess they'll forgive me. Raymond said, start to look for the lovely and the ugly. What are you talking about, my mom? They're not... Listen, mom fell down. Dad can't take care of her. He fell down. And I got to be honest with you, man. Sometimes I get my feeling because I want to have a conversation with just me and my mom. She uses language that I can understand. And so now, man, I see my father, this 85-year-old man. He cries a lot now. Right? And my sister and I have an opportunity to tell him how proud of him we are. But by you finally come home the last couple of years. And a few days ago, man, I'm not the family member that sticks in the hospital and stays in the hospital for 15, 20 minutes. And I don't want to see my mom like that. She can't talk. She's got this lost look in her eye. Are you here to take me home, Petrus? Take me home. My sister and I have had an opportunity, man. I get to tell my mom, listen, it's okay, mama. We're going to be fine. The family going to be fine. And I asked everyone to leave the room because I want to listen, my mom, I just broke down one day. I miss you, mama. And thank you for raising me the man that I am today. My father, I can see, man, he lives with some regret. And it was said earlier that these traditions help me with relationships outside the step workers for my relationship with myself. I tell him all the time, I hug him, I get this opportunity to hug and kiss my parents and tell them how proud of them I am. And they tell us how proud they are of the children they have. I don't have to have the medical answers to show up. I don't have to have none of the answers. I have to fight my feelings and my emotions, show up, put my hands on them, tell them I love them. One of the greatest gifts I ever got from him, listen, my greatest resentment was against him when I came in here. And someone pulled me aside, combat veteran, Vietnam veteran. My father was gone for 38 straight months during Desert Storm. And it was a veteran where I'm from. Said, hey man, I hear you talking about your dad. I'm a combat vet. Let me talk to you. You seen death the way he seen death? No. Do you have any idea what it is to be financially responsible for the head of for the house? No. Aren't you working a program? Yes. Learn to give him a break. I asked him one time, I said, Papa, can you feel that I love you? He said, I know you love me. I said, that's not what I asked you. Can you feel it? My father gonna look at me and say, thank you, son, for the second chance to be your dad again. Narcotics Anonymous gave me that. Look, I didn't look, smell, talk like this almost 11 years ago. We talk about death, right? I understand this much because a living amends helps feed my spirit. There's the physical death and then there's the spiritual death. And recently, man, some people, I'm not exempt. I'm just sharing with you where I'm at. Been praying. Let me go back to this romantic relationship. I was so locked and loaded on stuff that I didn't have. I'm looking at what Chris got with his marriage. I'm lusting over that. And my other friends are breaking up, getting a new relationship. I'm lusting over that. Why not me? Why not me? I'm talking to God, man. I'm getting on his nerves for a year and a half. Because a young lady in there, when she said, watch out what you pray for, I got pissed off. This just happened a few days ago, this past week. I'm on the phone with him. Because guess what happened? I prayed for something. I got on God's nerves for a year and a half, 2 years. He blessed me with it. Now I don't want it. Cunning, baffling, insidious, and deadly. And I'm on the phone, man, because I don't like hurting people no more. Right? I'm on the phone with Chris. You ever have conversations with somebody, get real spiritual on some recovery shit, and you can just feel your temperature rising, biting great for your phone? I know he hasn't said anything to me yet. I'm like, yeah, Chris, yeah! Like, why are you yelling at me? I'm on, yeah! Here's the one thing that pissed me off the most. You talk to your sponsor about it. Cunning, baffling, insidious. I struggled when I came in here. Disease. What the fuck you mean, disease? Dis-ease. Dis-ease of what? A spiritual condition. I got off the phone with Chris. I hit the highway because I had to be in Allegheny County. I didn't make it to Clear Spring, Maryland. I'm so frustrated. I'm so angry. I'm so pissed off because now I'm embarrassed to talk to people who've helped save my life, this intimate network, listen to me cry about some shit for a year and a half, 2 years, and now I gotta get on the phone with them and tell them I don't want it, I'm jammed up, because when you know, you know. I'm just not feeling it, right? I'm just not feeling it. This is where my mind took me. If this is what it's like coming up on 11 years, why even be here anymore? That's the second time in 11 years my mind has taken me there. Listen, I have a healthy fear of this disease. I'm in a romantic relationship with the God of my understanding, and I'm dumb, but I ain't plumb dumb. I know the disease is in a relationship with me too. I pulled off to the exit. I started with some simple shit, man. I rescheduled that work day to Thursday. Got some coffee. Got back on the highway. Cussing Chris out the whole time. All right, let me call in. Called Raymond. Raymond picked the phone up. I said, Raymond, I'm embarrassed to talk to you about this. Because Chris was asking, let's get to the exact nature. I just, listen, the two character defects that I was fighting is perfectionism and doubting myself. I'm being asked questions I really don't know the answer to, because sometimes I want you to think that I'm some NA guru. I'll give you the defect I'm working on, the page number, the paragraph, right? Because when he said, little boy, look, May 8, 2014, an angry, resentful, scared 10-year-old trapped in a 44-year-old's body walked into Narcotics Anonymous, and I'm just now learning how to put him to bed. So I got on the phone with Raymond. I said, Raymond, man, I got into some stuff. And I said, I've been praying for something. Because now I'm jammed up. I can't answer the exact nature of it. Now my mind's telling me, look, you're not even in a healthy third-step relationship. Your prayer life sucks. Right? I get to this place because I doubt myself. And I'm so insecure that you're going to see that my mind takes me. It's just easier. Listen, don't have the conversation with her. Just kill yourself. So I'm talking to Raymond about it, right? And he said, listen, I've been working with you for almost 9.5 years. The exact nature is you just ain't feeling it. He gently reminds me that this is a program of practical application. Sometimes the solution is right there, right? And he said, I don't agree when I hear this. Feelings aren't facts. He said, you're feeling it now, ain't you? Isn't that a fact?
Yeah.
He said, and then he kept it on himself. He said, repetition is a way of teaching and learning. He said, Petros, I'm coming up on 70 years old. I repeatedly make mistakes. That's why in our literature, Petros, the only requirement is a desire. That's all half of that sentence, too. Desire without action has just always been a good fucking idea for me. Put one more on there, man. We're going to stop this shit tomorrow. Because I've gotten high clean. right? I've gotten high clean, so I called her. Thank you. I called an emergency session because I still look. Here's a little cheat sheet. If you ain't put it together yet, I still go get outside help. And I had the conversation with the person. I feel a lot better. I heard something in a meeting years ago, and it clicked on me, right? They said, around here, you better learn to want what you got before you get what you want. And I was so obsessed on what everybody else has, this romantic relationship, and part of it is I need to be in one to validate myself because she abated. Because I kept going back four different times to give her the power to abandon and reject me. Living amends to myself. When the truth is, man, I've got this beautiful life. A lot of my friends make fun of me for coming home early. You know why I come home early? Because I'm the only person on the lease. I'm the only one that lives there. And sometimes I just like sitting on the couch and letting it hang out. I'm grateful for people that help me stay clean. There are people like, and I'm not special, man. There are people that I love dearly, man, that have gone back out. Some of them are breathing, some of them ain't breathing. You know what our greatest spiritual principle is? Love. My mom helps me understand, love him, try to love him the way he loved me. Love me the way he loved me. And love them the way he loved me. Right? Or the way he loves them. I'm living a life, man, that I just didn't believe it. You guys were weird to me. Right? So, if you heard anything in here, and let me say this too before I shut up, right? I started the step work to show you that I was a special kind of fucked up. And watch out what happens, because in here, whether you believe in God or not, he believes in you, right? Relationship, not religion, relationship, right? And there's something powerful in here, man, when a profound spiritual and emotional change is talked about in this first step happens without our permission, right? Pain is a touchstone of growth, and I'm grateful for the greatest pain I've ever experienced in my life because I have grown. I'm not advertising, right? For the first time in my life, I didn't fuck my way through my feelings because if you hurt this 10-year-old, still I have to fight my first instinct. I want to fuck, fight, and get high, right? Living amends to you, a living amends to me. When I start to get better with me, I get a lot better with you. And if you heard anything that touched you from the young lady and myself, it wasn't us. From our primary purpose, there was but one ultimate authority, loving God as he may express himself in our conscience. We're just trusted servants. We damn sure don't run nothing. Thank you for letting me spend time with you.
I would like to thank Heather and Petrus for sharing a great meeting. As a reminder, the entertainment for tonight will be karaoke in the Owens Room and Karma, the Ultimate Rock Band.